Aye. We're now going to consider adoption of a fair policy and a proposed fair restructuring plan. So, I have my little thing on here, and is there any member that wishes to address us?
Let me just first make one comment.
Mr. Antonovich?
Thank you for running a very well-managed meeting. Very good job.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
I think you really did your good job. She did. With all of the insults and everything, you did a great job in getting as many people heard as they possibly could. Get 350 people. I'll turn it on. Okay.
It is no small job to get 350 people heard over the course of just 9 to 2:30, and I want to commend you. I think you did an excellent job.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Now, if we can get a proposal and get something going. Is there a motion? Do we have anything before us? We have the CEO's proposal, but nobody has moved it. Do we have a motion? All right. No one else? There are no other proposals before us? There's no proposals to be submitted?
Where's mine?
Are you not introducing yours, Mr. Mayor? What point would that be?
I've made a proposal, Madam Chair, that I'm prepared to move. I understand there aren't the votes for it. If there are the votes for another proposal, I think we should move on that proposal first.
Very good. Then let me introduce a motion, if you would like. This is a motion by myself, by Director Fasana, by Director O'Connor, and by Director Yaroslavsky. And I think my staff can pass it out if they haven't already. And it reads as, we move that the Board of Directors, number one, adopt the attached fare schedule for fiscal years 2008-2012. It is attached. Secondly, that we authorize the implementation of the first phase of fare restructure in 2008 and the second phase in 2010 as outlined on the attached fare schedule. Three, that we implement a 25-cent off-peak fare for disabled and seniors 65 years and older. The fare shall be valid between the hours of 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. and after 7 p.m. and all weekends and all day Saturday, Sunday, and federal holidays. The only proof of eligibility required for seniors shall be a Medicare card. Four, that we direct the CEO to work with the City of Los Angeles to implement the restructuring of a downtown bus service and bus-only peak hour lanes as identified by the Mayor of Los Angeles in his letter to the Board dated May 21st, 2007. Five, that we instruct Metro's legislative advocates to aggressively pursue Metro's share of the 2007 state spillover funds estimated to be up to $110 million. Six, that we instruct Metro's legislative advocates to lobby for the reauthorization of the CNG tax credit scheduled to sunset in 2009. Seven, that we direct the CEO to prepare a comprehensive plan for checking fares on the Orange Line and all rail lines and report back to the Board within 60 days with an implementation plan that can begin within 60 days thereafter. Eight, that we direct the CEO to perform an analysis of the 25 worst performing bus lines and report back to the Board within 90 days for review. The analysis should contain an assessment of how the lines could be restructured or consolidated in order to improve their performance and make them more cost-effective. 9, that we direct the CO to come back to the board within 2 years with, number 1, an analysis of the TAP data and possible future alternative fare structures, including distance-based fares, peak and off-peak fares, and premium fares for train and express service. 2, that the status of the cost savings of the restructuring of downtown service and the implementation of bus-only lanes in partnership with the City of Los Angeles. Number 10, that we direct the CEO to report to the board quarterly on the ridership and the revenue outcomes due to a fare restructuring. That is our motion.
I'll second it.
So that is before us. I think you have a copy of the fare structure on the second page. Yes, sir. Mr. Jaroslawski.
I'd like to speak to the motion and really to the larger issue that's before us, because there will be a number of motions, I'm sure, before the afternoon's out, and I'm not sure anything. We may do this all again in 30 days, but I want to go back to where we've been. Well, Mr. Snoble, when did we approve the labor contract?
About last summer.
So less than a year ago.
Yeah.
At the time we approved the labor contract, among other things that we've approved over the course of the last couple of years, that have incurred expenses, long-term expenses, while it wasn't open to the public because the labor negotiations were done in closed session, I will characterize the issues and the choices that were before us now. I think they were pretty self-evident at the time to anybody who was paying attention, that you can't pay for something with nothing. And our concern all along, certainly my concern, I know just about everybody else on this board felt the same way, that our ability to meet payroll, our ability to live within our means and to be able to fiscally, in a fiscally responsible way, manage this agency had to be affirmed before we went forward and committed ourselves to ongoing expenses, such as the 3% a year labor increases. And that wasn't the only expense that we incurred. And it's the philosophy that many of us on this board who help govern other jurisdictions have adhered to, which is a philosophy of live within your means, don't commit yourself to expenditures that are not sustainable, only commit to what you can't sustain in the out years. So how are we going to sustain in the out years? The chair of the board of the MTA at the time, that was last summer and earlier, and others said that we would have to confront the issue of fare increases, and we'd have to be, and I'll quote, tough enough, have thick enough skin to do what would be unpopular, what would certainly be unpopular. It's never popular to raise fares to raise taxes. And it was almost, as I like to describe, it was almost like a revival meeting. You know, everybody was almost felt like they had to commit. We didn't, but it was that kind of if we're going to do this, we're going to have to be willing to make the tough decisions. I didn't hear at that time any dissensions, not from the chair of this board at the time, and not from any other member of the MTA board. We went ahead and we approved the labor contract, as we approved other positions during the course of the year, as we approved budgets that increased certain things, all with the expectation that we would do the responsible thing. So it was much to my surprise, actually more than surprise, that the proposal that the mayor will make, presumably shortly, and that he has announced publicly in the press as of Monday night, was made, because it wasn't, it certainly didn't reflect Mr. Snoble's proposal, which I don't think anybody on this board supports, certainly not me. It reflected about 1/8 of Mr. Snoble's proposal. And we are now put in a position where the only, until Ms. Molina made her motion just a moment ago, our motion just a moment ago, that the only choices were a ridiculous, absurd, as the Los Angeles Times called it in their editorial this morning, absurd proposal that was made by the staff that practically broke the back of any working person, not to mention anybody who was a student or a senior or disabled, on the one hand. And on the other hand, a proposal that practically costs us more money than it raises, that defers virtually every project that we have on the books, reduces the quality and quantity of existing service by reducing headways or increasing headways, I don't know what the appropriate terminology is, lengthening the time between trains and the Orange Line by some 25% to 50%, lines that are doing extremely well, resulting in overcrowding. So I just couldn't reconcile the two. And I think what Supervisor Director Molina's motion has done is tried to make a dent in the structural deficit, but recognizing that we're not going to balance the structural deficit entire or fix the we're not going to fix the structural deficit entirely through fare increases. That's absurd, it's ridiculous, and it's not going to happen. And there's not, I doubt if there's one vote to do that on this board. But on the other hand, to borrow our way into oblivion, which is the policies that we had here in the 90s, which caused this agency to almost go bankrupt, which caused us to have to get rid of two CEOs, bring in Julian Burke, as we, some of us were here, remember, to try to reconstruct this agency from the ground up financially, so that we could be in a position to fulfill our mission and our obligation to our customers and to this region as a transportation planning agency. I don't want to repeat that again by borrowing Prop C 40%, by borrowing against future revenues, by reducing service today. This is not like taking a loan out to buy a house. It's like taking one credit card to pay off the bill of another credit card. That's exactly what it is. You cannot borrow to meet operating expenses. That is a cardinal rule of management of any business, of any organization, and certainly any government. And so from my point of view, I would hope, after all is said and done, that we will find, that we will zero in on Supervisor Molina's motion, which I know is not exactly what she wanted. It's not exactly what I wanted. It's probably not exactly what anybody wants. But it's a, at least of the four of us who are on this motion, it reflects a, and I know it's not what Director Fasano wanted, but it's a synthesis and a convergence on something that makes a significant, meaningful dent in the structural deficit, forces us to look at other ways to reduce costs, forces us to look at restructuring, forces us to look at better fare collection on their platforms and the trains in the Orange Line, and then go from there. To do anything short of this, I'm not going to vote for anything short of this. I'm not going to. I don't know why we would go through all the pain and the angst of doing that to get nothing or to get very little for nothing. And this is, at the end of the day, it's not about us. It's about our system. And it's the system that's at stake. The fare proposals that you've made in your proposals are not inconsequential, but they're not unmanageable either. You've addressed the seniors. You've addressed, mitigated the seniors, mitigated the students. And the disabled. And the rest of the population is asked to bear a modest share of the increase. I think it's responsible, and I'm going to support it, and I'm going to support it strongly. I think we need to do it. If we don't do it today, we'll do it next month. And every month we wait, it's going to cost this agency more.
Thank you. Mr. Yaroslavsky, Mr. Fasano.
Madam Chair. Yeah, I would just given that Director Yaroslavsky felt it necessary to misconstrue and mischaracterize private conversations I've had with him in public, I'd like to set the record straight, if I could, about the sheep who walk in wolf's clothing. And if I have the opportunity to do that, first of all, let me be absolutely clear. You know, I have the utmost respect for Supervisor Molina, and I do to all of you, because whether you agree with her or not, she's had the courage to put forth a proposal. Director Yaroslavsky, on the other hand, as is usually the case, I may add, doesn't have the courage to do that. What he has said from the beginning is not for or against any proposal. I know he said that in front of at least three other directors. He refused to say he was for or against the proposal by Mr. Snoble. He has never floated a proposal himself, instead waited for Ms. Molina, Director Molina, to show the courage to do what he was unwilling and unable to do from the very beginning. And so let me be absolutely clear about me on this issue. In 1991, I had the honor of representing Gloria Molina on the RTD board and later on the MTA board. I was the author of the 50 Cents Fair program. I stood and was the first board member to raise the issue of the disparity between the subsidy for buses versus rail. I have been consistent since 1991 on that issue. At almost every turn, Mr. Yaroslavsky was on the other end of that issue, by the way. I agreed as a board member then to be a witness in the lawsuit, not because I agreed with everything that the Bus Riders Union has postulated, but because I did agree that we had a second-tier bus system and that we needed to invest to make it a first-class bus system if we were going to truly have the multimodal system that we require. Over the years, I've disagreed with the Bus Riders Union on a number of issues. I support light rail, and I support subway as well. But one thing you get with me is you get someone who looks you in the eye, just like you do with Ms. Molina, and tells you what he thinks. You don't get that with everyone. And I can tell you, you certainly don't get that with the previous speaker. Let me be absolutely clear about this. The proposal I've made is a proposal that will increase bus fares by 25%. When you look at the fact that 60% of the bus riders make $12,000 a year, 80% of them make less than $20,000 a year. We heard more than 300 people speak to the fact that they're going to have to choose between the food on their table and paying for a bus fare. Even my proposal, has every one of the speakers who stood up, is a very sizable proposal. I've not put 0% on the table. No, I've put 25% increase, and that's a sizable increase for bus riders. In addition to that, rather than just sit around the table and talk, what I've done is yesterday I got a commitment on the part of the Speaker of the California State Assembly and the Senate Pro Tem to not accept the administration's cut on the spillover money and on the rest of the $1.3 billion for public transit. I, along with others, but I certainly put my capital on the line when we went to Sacramento to get our fair share of funding for the 405, for move from 12% to 29% of congestion management funds. We were all together on that issue, but make no mistake, I played a critical role. So what we've tried to do here is not just look at raising fares. That is one component. We also need to be more aggressive about getting money. Some people spend very little time, by the way, getting the money and all the time spending it. I can tell you those people have a lot of nerve to speak into the way that they do. But what's very clear to me, absolutely clear to me, is this. I've made a proposal. It's a proposal that I think is fair given the fact that costs are rising, given the fact that we had to give a fair increase, as you said, Director Yaroslavsky, to our employees, 3% increase to them, given the fact that fuel costs are up, and given the fact that we have the world's leading alternative fuel system, and those buses cost more. We looked at CNG, we looked at off-peak fares, which Ms. Molina has appropriately incorporated. We looked at a number of different ways to address the budget deficit, and we're also looking at deferring some projects, And that is appropriate. When you're looking at the kind of deficit that we're looking at right now, we've got to do all of those things. You raise fares, you engage in some borrowing, not complete borrowing, but some borrowing. You look for more money, as was mentioned here, and I did that yesterday while some were sitting in their office. I made it clear that I'm willing to put my capital on the line. I'm putting my capital on the line. You know, by the way, when you see the signs up all over the city, they don't say Zev Yaroslavsky raised the fares. Why? Because you didn't have the courage to put forth a proposal. Instead, what you did was opposed every proposal that has been on the table until such time as you realized that there is some support for mine. So while I recognize very clearly that you know, this is one proposal, and that reasonable people can disagree. I said, I have the utmost respect for Director Molina, because one thing you get from her is what you see is what you get. She puts it out there. She's got the courage to do it. And, you know, I respect that kind of leadership every time. She's got a legitimate proposal, members and directors, but so do I, given the fact that when we balance this budget, when we look at, we didn't get to this deficit. Here's another point. We didn't get to this deficit overnight. For us to try to reduce the deficit in the period that was originally proposed doesn't make sense. We got to this deficit over a 14-year period, and we should extend the period that we address the deficit as well. And so, you know, apologies if I'm a little heated, but when my comments, private comments, by the way, comments that are supposed to, in the director's room, have confidentiality, when they're misconstrued, mischaracterized, and represented in the way that were just represented, I felt compelled to set the record straight, to look you in the eye, and say, that's just not true, and you know it.
Mr. Pisano.
This will be interesting to follow up. You know, what I'd like to say is we've heard from close to 300 people today who have given very compelling stories and testimony to the hardships that are going to be caused by this fare increase, a fare increase which I am on this motion. I am going to support it. We've heard the difficult times that people are going to face. We also know that there's tremendous unmet need in this system, that this system needs to grow. It doesn't need to stay static with where it is today, but this system needs to be able to serve more people with greater frequency. It needs to serve people that have choice in ridership as well as people that are transit dependent. It needs a balanced system of highway for those that don't have adequate transit service, that do rely on carpool lanes and use their cars because they don't have any other options. People that also can use the train to help reduce carbon emissions. So there is a need for a balanced system. There's a need for a growing system. The concern that I had with the proposal that was put out by the mayor was that the revenues were going to be inadequate to sustain a growing system, and that all we were going to be doing was delaying the inevitable, frankly, implosion of our system, whether it be the rail system, the bus system. I think the rail system is really going to implode almost immediately unless we deal with these increases that we have here today. But frankly, even in terms of the bus system, we need additional funding in Sacramento. One of the members of the audience mentioned that we ought to send the transcript up north. I totally agree. That transcript ought to go up there as evidence of what happens with the TDA spillover and the hardship that's being borne by our riders. But again, to maintain an entire balanced system, we need to move forward with the motion that Director Molina has brought forward. But I really want to see options like distance-based fares seriously looked at, premium fares for the rail system. I'm hoping that when we get the TAP system on board, that we can move there in the next few years. It's obviously not perfect. I know a lot of people that are here today aren't going to be happy. I also know there's a lot of people that can't even use our system because it doesn't touch them in terms of where they work or where they live. So I support this motion. It's not perfect. Hopefully it puts us on the road to where we need to go to expand the system.
Director Katz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do want to thank, I think, Mr. Snoble for doing one thing. He did put together a proposal that I think created unanimity on the board. And it may be the only one, Roger, that does that. But it, you know, I do think, and I think the people who are here today need to know that, you know, Roger, in doing his job of trying to figure out how to get out of the place we're in, gives us a place to start from and to react against. I think people should, you know, all the people who came here today should know and be comfortable knowing that that proposal is not going to go anywhere, and I don't think there's any votes for it here. But it doesn't mean we don't have a problem to solve. The mayor's put forth a proposal that is more incremental, but also I think is much broader in scope. We recognize that bus service